Today on Real Radio.
You see, America has become so immature and so unable to deal with somebody who differs with them that they can't tolerate it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, in today's climate of political correctness, we sure hear a lot about tolerance. What about tolerance? Is tolerance among the various words that are being redefined these days? Well, a lot of people would say yes. And that's what Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses as he continues his series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
John there tells us, beginning at verse 1, let's look at it together. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Tonight we're considering deception, or the deception of tolerance. And before we go any further, let me tell you what I mean by that. The deception of tolerance. We hear all about this in the news and in our life today. Tolerance, tolerance. In fact, even announcing the word and speaking against, really, tonight, this malaise of tolerance, let me say this. That the definition of the word tolerance that you are being force-fed tonight is not the definition that is found in the Webster's Dictionary. I'll prove it to you in a moment. Nor is it the tolerance that you read about in your Bible. We're talking about deception within the church. We come to part 6 of our study together, and we have systematically looked at things that are ailing the church today. We've covered false prophets, false teachers, false doctrine. We've covered the things of the charismatic, not that we're against the charismatic or the moving of the Holy Spirit, but those who, instead of seeking the work of the Holy Spirit, imitate it and misrepresent the work of the Holy Spirit. But tonight we consider this thing about tolerance. What is being said out there outside these walls? What is falling into your ears, and how does it equate to your Christianity and your Bible? When we hear on the news or on a television program or radio, we must be tolerant. What are they saying? And has it crept into the church? Oh, more than you can imagine. So this is not an exercise tonight in what is most politically correct. This is a very serious study on something that has infiltrated the church, and that this thing, or this buzz of tolerance, has been so misrepresented that the church tonight, I believe, is very ill, very anemic, sickly, because this philosophy has crept in and undermined the validity and the power of the church and the earth tonight. God doesn't change. The Word of God doesn't change. But sad to say, people and how they perceive the Bible is often tainted and skewed by our worldview and what is around us. We're going to be focusing tonight on verse 6, where it says there, "We are of God." Now listen carefully. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, first of all, regarding tolerance, that sounds a little intolerant, doesn't it? We are of God, John is saying, or he's saying to this congregation, you're of God, they are not. Remember, we just covered this in our last study. There's a great division. But you see, you mentioned the word division and people get all nervous. Yet there is a Holy Spirit ordained division. From the world, the church is to be separate. The church is to be something altogether different. There is a great division. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, John tells us here, there are those who are of the world and those who are of God. And when, as John the Baptist said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree, nobody wants to talk about that because it causes some sort of emotional and, would to God, spiritual irritation. The Christian, you and I, we have been deployed into a hostile world the moment we came to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you realize that or not, but this world is not our home. Man, remember Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz? When she's standing there and she says, "We're not in Kansas anymore." Listen, this world is not our home anymore. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are waiting as we serve and worship and do the work of the Lord. We're waiting for His coming to go to Him. And we long to be with Him as Abraham longed to be in a place, in a city whose builder and maker is God. That's where we're going. Heaven, the reality of heaven. But we're living in a hostile world, and this world is in direct opposition to what we believe as Christians. This world's system and what it stands for cannot, listen, will not tolerate any other system of belief that exists outside of its control. This world announces we must be tolerant and we must tolerate one another. Yet when you stand up and say, "Jesus died for the sins of the world and He loves you, come to Christ," you know what happens to the people who preach tolerance? They'll come after you with a shovel. It's true. Why? Because you've mentioned the word, the name, that sets everyone on edge or everyone into praise. It depends on where you're at. You mention Jesus and people say, "Praise the Lord!" Or, "Strangle that guy!" You know, I love it. I'm serious. Man, you be someplace and I don't know about you. I tell you, it's hard working in a church because it's always you know, we talk Christianese at church. How's it going? Praise the Lord. All right. How's it going with you? Fine. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's on the throne. Amen. You know, I sign my letters and my notes, awaiting His return. Jack, awaiting His return. What does that mean to a non-believer? Awaiting His return. Was it, did He lose Himself? Is He waiting for Himself? What's that mean, awaiting His return? But you go outside this place like you do, you go outside, and you know you'll be at work or you'll be somewhere, and you'll say, "Well, you know, praise the Lord." What'd you say? What? Did you say Lord or something? Praise the Lord? Well, I guess I just, it came out. Yeah, I guess I did. They're so used to hearing God's name dragged through the mud and ridiculed and sworn upon. If you're praising Him, it didn't arrest an audience. Why? There's a great division. The world is hostile toward Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2 and 3, it says, "Then He said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Now, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves.'" That's who we are. Help. You know, go. Great, Lord, where? Just go to the world. By the way, I'm sending you out. Thank you, Lord. Yes, let's go. As lambs among wolves. What? But be of good cheer. Jesus says, "I've overcome the world." In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, there Paul the Apostle says, "For which I am," he speaks of himself, "an ambassador in chains." That word in the Greek, ambassador, means to be one who is a representative of a foreign nation, and he's being launched into a hostile nation. It's not the ambassador that you send to Canada. It's not the ambassador that you send from the United States to Mexico. It's the ambassador that you send from here to China or from here to Iraq. That's what you and I are as ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors. The word means that we are being sent into hostile territory. Enemies. And we're to go into that world and we're to make a difference. And listen, to make that difference in the world and to be committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will offend people because of the truth. I do not mean that we hurt their feelings. I do not mean that we attack them. By no means. But when we stand up and say, listen, Jesus said that unless you believe in him, you will die in your sins. You see what's happening today is people begin to say, I'm going to sue you. That's hate crime. Maybe you saw in the news, I got a large email quite a while back regarding this. And there is this movement with a couple of senators in Washington, D.C. to try to get evangelism banned in America because it fuels and stokes man's religious passions. So what's wrong with that? You see, America has become so immature and so unable to deal with somebody who differs with them that they can't tolerate it. What happened? If I can't talk to a Muslim friend, or he cannot talk to me, recognizing that we have great differences, that the two shall never meet, but can't we go and have a taco together? You see, the world is so, and America, tragically, is so lame in this area that if you and I, if we don't all agree, then we're on the verge of killing each other because we have no self-control anymore. What happened to our ability to disagree agreeably? But you see, we've lost that. When a true missionary goes into the world, you know what they do? They move into a country, they move into a foreign city, they get a job, they work right alongside that steel worker or that ship unloader, whatever they're called, shoremen or whatever, they're working. And you know what? They, by befriending and by loving and by showing example, they win people to Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. It's what Jesus told us to do. It's a great thing to do. But see, the world has gotten under this tolerant thing of one another to the point where they exclude the truth. We'll talk about more of that in a moment. Tonight, as we get into this study, there's a few things that we want to consider this evening. As we look to the deception of the call to tolerance, I do ask for your patience. Some of you already might have your teeth on edge because I mentioned the word tolerance in a way that is not so politically correct. Just be patient tonight, and then after this service, decide to never come back here again, if that's what you want. But I'm telling you, just wait, okay? Just wait. Tonight, we're going to be looking at these three things. Number one, tolerance denies the truth of absolutes. Tolerance denies the truth of absolutes. We'll look at that, and we'll use verse 6 for all of these. The second thing we'll look at tonight is tolerance demands acceptance by all. Tolerance demands acceptance by all. And thirdly, we'll see tolerance decides what is tolerated. So the first thing, tolerance denies the truth of absolutes. You can't have absolutes in this modern day definition of tolerance. They'll never fit. And yet we know absolutes are absolutes, and they're not going away. The second thing, tolerance demands acceptance by all. In other words, you conform or you will pay the price. We cannot tolerate you being different. Finally, tolerance decides what will be tolerated, and that is, this is the agenda, and you better get with the program. So tonight we're going to be looking at these things. So as we dive into this, consider a few things. Number one, verse 1 of this chapter, chapter 4. Listen, verse 1 said, test the spirits whether they are of God. That implies there are spirits that are not of God. Does that sound very tolerant to you? Doesn't sound tolerant to me in the modern day definition of the word tolerance. Look at the next thing that comes up. The second part of verse 1. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. That means there are deceivers. That means that there are people who are not right with God. That doesn't sound very tolerant to me. Verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Well, now you're judging, John. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. John, that doesn't sound very tolerant to me. Could it be that we don't know what the word tolerant means? Could it be that we've been sold a different definition in our day and age? John chapter 4, verse 4. Because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Now you're putting me down, John. Doesn't sound very tolerant to me. Verses 5 and 6. They are of the world. We are of God. That sounds pretty divisive even. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, Paul tells Timothy there, O Timothy, guard that which has been committed to your trust. Listen, avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. That doesn't sound very tolerant to me. Maybe we don't know the definition of the word tolerant. So let's look to our first point using verse 6 tonight of 1 John chapter 4. Tolerance denies the truth of absolutes. We are of God, says John. He who knows God hears us. There is a unity in the Spirit that cannot be denied. Don't raise your hand. It's not necessary. But are you visiting tonight? Are you from Sacramento or are you from New York? How about you? Have you traveled? Have you gone from here and you're on vacation or at work somewhere in some foreign or some distant city or country and you go to a church that loves the Lord and has the Bible as its foundation? And all of a sudden, even, I tell you, I have been to many churches where I don't speak the language in that country. And you know what? The moment you walk in the building, you feel like you're right home, right at home here. How can that be? Because it is the koinonia that is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When we say that we're of God, it's not that we're boasting, it's that we understand the fellowship one with another. And we've covered this in previous studies. Because this is true, we remember what it's like to be in the world. We remember what it's like to be delivered out of the world. Does the real Christian turn and attack those who are of the world? No. Does the Christian, the Bible-believing evangelical, contrary to the definition of that term by the CIA and the FBI and the ATF and... We don't go around and blow up abortion clinics. We pray that the Lord would reach every woman and those doctors and nurses that are there. That when they do come to Christ, their lives would not be filled with guilt. We pray. See, the world assigns different meanings to words these days. It's wrong. The deception of tolerance. You know, a lot of people say, well, as long as you're sincere, it doesn't really matter what you believe. You ever heard that? Can you imagine now? You might say, well, Jack, what's in your business? It's really not my business at all. If a person comes up and says, you know what, I believe, you know, in marshmallows. And if I just sit in the bathtub with marshmallows and stuff, I reach the deep inner person of who I am. And through doing this, I begin to experience a euphoric, almost transcendental, astral projection type of experience. And I'm out in the universe all while I'm bathed in these marshmallows and just a wonderful smell. And off they go. Listen, if you have not heard that story, go to Sedona, Arizona, and they're all there. I mean, it's amazing. And if you're not near Sedona, go to San Francisco. And if you're not near San Francisco, just come on down here to Laguna Beach. And you're like, what? What do you believe? It's unbelievable. But they tell you this thing, this strange deal. And people will look at them and say, you know, well, I guess you, as long as he's sincere, he's not hurting anybody. It's true, he's not hurting anyone at all. But listen, here's the part that's so wild, is that in the end they're going to die, and it's this, the flames, the heat that the Bible talks about, there ain't no marshmallow built. There's no marshmallow possible to shield them from this. And you say, how can you say that? Listen, I love their soul even though I don't know them more than they do. They're willing to go off this path of lunacy when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you can't get to the Father with marshmallows. You've got to come through me. Jesus says this. And then he saves you and says, listen, I want to send you into the world and tell them. So you tell people, and what do they say? They either say yes, no, or I don't care. And with that, we wash our hands or dust our feet off and walk away. But even then, it's true, if we could wrestle them to the ground and save them, we would, but that doesn't work. We care for them. But just like a rebellious child, when a parent loves and cares for them, they don't understand it. People don't know this. They don't understand. They think we're wackos because we care for their soul. and we're labeled as being intolerant. It's not true. But I tell you, when a church begins to think like the world and to accept the prophets of the world, then we believe, or I believe, I should say at that time, that Jesus has long gone from that church. Yesterday I was speaking to some students, and this one kid said, "Hey, don't you think there's a church in every town in America?" That's a great thing to ask. "Don't you think there's a church in every town in America?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess there is probably a church in every town in America." And he says, "Well, how come the world isn't getting better then?" It's a great, great thinking this teenager had. "How come the world's not getting better?" And I said, "You know, I guess we should reserve the definition of a church to Jesus. He's pretty good at it. There may be a building with a steeple on it, but is it a real church? Does Jesus live there?" I said, "Well, you know, if it's a church, shouldn't he be living there?" "Well, if it's a church, I think he should be living there." But we know that to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3:20, it's a great verse, but we often use it out of context. We use it wrongly. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up the door, I'll come in." He's telling that to a backslidden church. "Let me in. He's not even in the building. Hey, I'd like to get in here." He's talking to a church, the church at Laodicea. That's so strayed from Jesus. They had gotten into so many other things. When verse 6 says, "By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error," the word "by this," those two English words, means this. And the audience that you keep is in an audience of professing Christianity. "By this we know." By what? Those who are divided, being those who are of God and those who are not of God. And I ask you, when he says, "By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error," the question is, do you? Do you fellowship with the world, or do you try to reach the world? Do you have everything down pat about the world, but little down pat about Jesus and the Bible? Which world are you living in? When he says, "By this we know," it implies that we know the difference between the two worlds that we're talking about. And one of them is of error, and one of them is of truth. In Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 10 through 12, this is a great example of it. There the scripture says in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 10, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more fair-minded than those who are in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the apostle tells the reader not to be deceived. Now, what we heard today, which deals mostly with political correctness and the redefinition of the word tolerance, it's part of a mini-series called Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's part of Pastor Jack's larger collection of lessons taken from this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? I hope you have. We also have an app for your smartphone by that same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. We just like to make things easy for you. Remember, it's free. Here on Real Radio, you've heard us mention things like Journey. That's one of our television programs that airs on his channel. Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which I personally love, and you can get in your email inbox if you'd like. Our Wednesday Night Study, which also airs on hischannel.com live. Our Real Radio podcasts, and of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our Monday night TV program that deals with, well, real life issues from a biblical perspective, and a whole lot more. I'm peeking at mine right now on my smartphone. There it is, all at my fingertips. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs and the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.